11:40 on Wednesdays means Dave Archer joins the show. Arch, how are you?
Let's get some peace of mind right here, Arch.
Good fellas. Good to be with you guys. Big one for you, Randy, coming up on Saturday night. Y'all geared up for it? We're going to need a couple catches out of you on Saturday night.
Well, Dave, I will be at an undisclosed beach watching the game.
Undisclosed. Yeah, nobody can know where Randy is.
Yeah, I'll be at an undisclosed beach watching the game and scaring people that probably don't watch American football.
I like it. That means you're out of the country. So you're not available to catch any balls for us on Saturday night.
Yeah. No.
There's going to be some people that have never watched a football game before, probably, watching Randy just losing it to that game on Saturday night. I would imagine the last couple of games have given some Falcons fans peace of mind, though, especially offensively. I wonder what stands out to you about the operation over the last two games, Arch.
Well, I think that their ability to do both, Andy, is probably the thing that sticks out most. I think that, you know, sometimes we get caught up in the whole identity concept. You know, what's the identity of this team? And I think if you thought about it and you thought Kirk Cousins coming in and they went out and got a couple of receivers and you start thinking about, well, they're going to throw the football, and they have. And certainly that piece of it has grown. The synergy between receivers and quarterbacks and the offensive line understanding where he is and all that kind of stuff has come together. But I thought that their ability to, you know, backbone it up and go run the football last weekend creates a dilemma. If you're trying to prepare for Atlanta now, you're thinking, okay, well, they're going to throw the ball to the yard. We can pin our ears back and tee off and get after the passer. Then all of a sudden you look up and they bludgeon a team with 200 yards rushing. And we knew those two backs were good. And you had an idea over the last couple of seasons this team could come off the ball and run it, but really hadn't established that. Now all of a sudden you look up and you say, wait a minute, they can run it and throw it. Mm-hmm. And that part you really like. And that creates a major problem, as Randy will tell you. When you try to prepare defensively, you got 3 days to get ready to go. When you start trying to defend the physicality of the run game and then also the finesse and the pieces that go along with the passing game, that makes you ultra dangerous.
Dave, I mean, we always use the phrase, they paid them too, and they paid the other team money and everything like that. But from your standpoint of watching this defense play, what is it about this run defense that's just not where it needs to be for this team to maybe make some noise later on in the season?
Yeah, I think that there was some lack of physicality at the point of attack to a certain extent. I thought Grady and Eddie Goldman and Ruka Roro were really physical at the point of attack. I think even Tiku Graham showed some physicality at the point of attack this last weekend that we hadn't seen. If you go back and look at this last game, I think they gave up 115 yards or 120 yards on the ground. The bulk of that was to obviously Chuba Hubbard. Mm-hmm. And if you even look at further, the bulk of it was in like one drive. Mm-hmm. I think he had like 40 yards rushing in one drive, and that was later in the game. So I think that the numbers, as you begin to look at, are they getting better against the run? I would say they are, but the numbers don't tell you that. I think that Nate Landman being back, mm-hmm. and we talked a little bit about this, I think, on you guys' show last week, he's a stack and shed linebacker where he's going to take blocks on. And at 6'3", 240, 245 pounds, he's taking on those interior linemen, trying to stack them and shed them to plug them. But what it does is there's an object in the way, and it's not guys running around blocks. And some, to a certain extent, I love the way Caden Ellis plays with great speed. I think he runs around blocks a lot, and I think that it creates creases in the defense that if a back's got good vision, they're going to find that crease and cut against mm-hmm. wherever he's running. And then he's not the biggest linebacker in the world, so he gets pushed off his spot some. So hopefully that'll continue to develop. Hopefully you can get Troy Anderson back in the near future. He's a bigger linebacker, and some of that will help with some of that interior second-level stuff to create just roadblocks that doesn't give backs free run to the secondary.
Do you think that the way that the carries have been distributed has been by plan, or is that just Tyler Allgeier kind of demanding to get the ball a little bit more by the way that he's played?
Well, if you know Tyler, he doesn't demand anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen a more soft-spoken guy that'll just tear you in half when he hits you than Tyler Allgeier. So I think it's just a matter, Andy, of them riding the hot hand. I think that obviously when you see them both in the game at the same time, there's a game plan and an idea of using one to decoy and the other one getting the football or vice versa. And I think that that's part of Zach's plan as it continues to develop during the season. But I think more than anything else, it's just they get on, they find a guy that's got a little bit of a hot hand or a guy that's in some kind of rhythm. And I think we've talked about this before. You know, everybody talks about how backs get stronger as the game goes on. That doesn't happen. Randy will tell you nobody gets stronger as the game goes along. Just which group is getting worn down more. And if you've got a team that can come off the ball and run it, and then you've got a back that can hammer you at the back end of those runs physically, you get worn down even quicker. And backs get in a rhythm. And those two guys sharing the carries, I think they've done a pretty good job of being able to share between the two of them.
I wanted to get your thought process because, I watch all the games, but I'm definitely going to hone in on a tight end, especially if one is from Georgia. And talk to me, Dave, about the addition of Charlie Warner right now, because you've seen some clips of him doing different things as far as going in and double-teaming off of a damn three technique and getting up to the damn backer. What is his addition brought to this offense, Dave?
Well, and they went out and got him for that, right, Randy? Yeah. When they went out and they sought him out. He was a guy that out in San Francisco that, you know, really wasn't a pass-catching tight end. But when you started seeing San Francisco run the football the way they do out there, you started seeing some of the things that he was doing to help them run the ball in the perimeter. They're a wide-zone team, too. This is a very similar running style that San Francisco deploys. So when you start thinking about a guy that's a perfect fit to edge block or – as you said, Randy, to come in motion and all of a sudden turn up in the B gap and take on a linebacker or pin a defensive end to create a crease to the inside, Charlie was the perfect fit. And he's not getting any credit other than on the team. I don't know how many people are talking. I know you're talking about him because you talk tight ends, but the dude has been phenomenal in the run game. And I thought some of it showed up even more now that we ran the football with a little bit more decisiveness. It was called more. I think he had 38 running plays called this last game. Gave him even more of an opportunity to showcase what he brings to the table. And to throw on top of that, I thought Kyle Pitts had a better game blocking. I don't know what you saw, Randy, when you looked at the tape, but I thought
head inside.
He was much better. Yeah, I thought he was much better blocking with his hands and stuff like that. It's not something he wants to do, but I think if he's a willing blocker, you know, then he's going to be a little bit better at it. And I thought there was an enthusiasm, and I use that word kind of loosely, an enthusiasm from him to be a part of the blocking scheme. Obviously, he wants to catch the football and make plays, which he did in the game. But I think if he's an enthusiastic guy in the run game, that's going to make them run the ball better. But Charlie Warner's been everything they'd hoped he would be, and I think that the more we get a chance to run it, the more you're going to see what he can do.
What happened on that play with Pitts and Cousins? There's been, you know, miscommunication is what they say. There's been a lot of different dissection of that play. From your perspective, what happened on that play?
The play, you remind me of the play, because I'm thinking about 150.
It's Dave, it's the one down in the red zone when Kyle was single receiver to the left side.
I think that he, when Kyle came off the ball, it obviously doesn't look like he's running. I think Mark Sanchez commented that he quit running. The ball's not necessarily thrown where he can catch it anyway. I mean, you'd have to be able to run a 4.240 to get to the ball and then have about a 45-inch vertical to go get it. I thought Kurt was inaccurate with the throw. I think Kyle anticipated the one-on-one matchup, but I think he thought it was going to be more of a jump ball at about the goal line or the 2 yards deep in the end zone. I think that's what he was anticipating with his matchup. And so they just were completely on the wrong page. I think that, you know, for some reason, Kirk thought back pylon. I think he made an error in judgment there as to how to get the ball to Kyle. And Kyle might not have been running quite as hard as he should have been.
Right.
So I think it's kind of both guys.
Dave, tell me about this Seattle team. Obviously, we talked earlier this week about these receivers. They got three dudes that can go get it, Dave. And we know Geno is a better athlete than most people think he is. But tell me about this team as far as their offense and defensive schemes.
Yeah, it's a great receiver core, as you talked about. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Smith and Jigba, those guys can all go get the football. Jake Bobo is a guy that's kind of come on
form,
caught some balls too out of Duke. So 6'4", 210-pound wide receiver. So they've got some guys that can go get the football. Geno's playing at a really high level. Now, I think that their one Achilles heel is they have not run the ball extremely well. And that's really kind of a mystery because I think Kenneth Walker's a really good player, and he's a good receiver out of the backfield too. So there's that piece of it. Zach Charbonnet is a good receiver out of the backfield. So they'll throw the ball to the backs. But this is a team that's decidedly lean towards the passing game. Obviously, they lead the league in throwing the football. They're doing a great job in converting, and they're converting plays on first and second down into another first into other first downs. They're averaging about 22, 23 first downs a game, which is which leads the league or is in the top five in the league at keeping you on the field. They're pretty good in the red zone as well in converting, but their Achilles heel a little bit is protecting the passer. When you throw the ball as much as they have, they've given up, I don't know, the fourth most sacks in the league. Geno's moves around enough, but he's not necessarily a guy that's going to break you down in the run game. So if there was ever a team you'd hope you could maybe get off the schneid and rush the passer a little bit, maybe this might be that team with only five sacks. I know it's a paltry number. Atlanta needs to, and we're having to blitz a lot to try to get home. So that lends itself to a problem as well. If you're going to come with pressure, you know, especially zone pressure, which we've used a lot of, these veteran quarterbacks are finding holes in the zone to complete. So it'll be imperative that Atlanta offensively plays well to kind of take some of the heat off of what Geno's going to put on our defense.
Hey, Arch, if you were Clark Phillips and you had that interception late in the game, would you have scored a touchdown?
It depends on what my Listen, I got some inside information on that. I asked Jerry Gray about that. I said, Jerry, I mean, you were a number one draft pick at corner. Would you have taken back for a touchdown? It's your first opportunity to make a play. He said, well, if he wants to play more, he'll have to listen to me. And he listened to me there. That was something that they had discussed.
Whatever, Dave.
Late in the football game, you got to go down there so the defense doesn't have to go back on the field. The reason Jerry told me that story is because they had a guy do that very same thing when Jerry was early in his career. They intercepted a pass, ran it back for a touchdown. Not Jerry, but another player. They had to go back on the field in the final minute and a half of the game, and the free safety blew his knee in the last 90 seconds of the game and was lost for the season. Jerry was emphatic about that, about that's what you're supposed to do. So if there's anything that Clark Phillips did, unselfish certainly,
yes.
But he's following the instructions.
He listened. But the question was to you, Dave, would you have done it?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to make that play, you know, and I don't like defensive players anyway, so I'm not going to make that play, you know, jump that play. If I had a chance to throw a touchdown pass at the end of the game and the coach told us to kneel down on it, I'd throw the touchdown
there
pass.
There we go. We'll equate that to both ways.
You going
to
ask him about the 6-0
Cyclones? Oh, yeah, I got to ask you. Great win last weekend, Dave, up there in Morgantown. Your boys.
Yeah, you badmouthed my guys.
I did not badmouth anybody. But the damn Cyclones, Dave, I mean.
9-0. They're 6-0, ninth in the country. Yeah, we got UCF coming in this weekend.
Ooh.
Hopefully take care of that business in Ames. And then things start to get a little bit more difficult. We've got Utah on the road, got to play K-State. So we'll see how it happens.
Arch, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, Randy, go Dogs, and don't hurt anybody in that third world country you're going to.
I'll do my best.
Dave Archer there, Falcons radio analyst, former Falcons quarterback.